Have you ever seen someone who has a flock of people around them, and that someone is just naturally talking, but people attracted to them like moths to a flame? People are there like sun-tanning high school girls facing this person's bright light, wanting to soak them all in and hoping they're more beautiful for it. You see these people, everyone smiling, circled around this special someone. It's like an animal magnetism. You can't help but try to nudge in, to hear their words, to try to get a little more of that narcotic for yourself. It's like being a child again, with a ton of kids in a candy store where someone's giving away free candy, and all the kids are so thrilled, and they're grinning from ear to ear. You haven't even gotten close enough to hear their words, but you're already starting to smile. Have you ever seen someone standing at the corner of an intersection and they look dirty and disheveled and you try to keep your distance because you're guessing they're homeless and asking for money, but you have to pass them, they're right on the street in your way, so you try to walk on the farthest edge of the sidewalk, but you watch them with your peripheral vision and you see them making animated gestures and you see their face contorting like they're having a great debate with no one, like they're giving the speech of their lifetime to no one. Because, you see, no one wants to listen. Everyone knows this is a madman raving, so you just try to ignore them. You make a point to not listen. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of noise we tune out in our minds. Cars going by, honking their horns, the low rumble of other people talking nearby, the shuffle of your footsteps. Well, this is another one of those noises. You don't want to hear them. You had a bad feeling about them as soon as you saw them. Just ignore them and hope they'll go away. I knew of a woman who went on a date with a male friend of mine. And after the date, the guy talked about how great she was, how they talked about their future and what they both wanted. He talked about the inside of her place. But after we left messages for her repeatedly, she never called him back again. Saw this woman weeks later at a Starbucks, and she said she felt bad, but she never wanted to see him again. Because during their date, they never talked about what they wanted. He just talked about what he wanted, like how she wouldn't work because he even told her how many of his children she would bear. She wouldn't let him into her home. Does that mean he was looking through her window? And she said that after the date, she showered for hours because she felt mentally raped. Poor girl. She saw someone who seemed nice. But it only took her a short while to know what he was really like. Sometimes you look at people and you just know. Sometimes it takes you a little while, but people can't hide their souls forever. Everyone gets feelings about someone, whether or not they want to admit it. It's not women's intuition. Men feel it too. You feel it in your chest when you see something good. And you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you see something bad. Sometimes you look at people and you just know. And you can try to avoid that feeling you get. You can try to shrug it off as nothing. You can try to run away from that feeling for years. But you can't hide from your soul forever. It'll catch up to you when you least expect it. Sometimes you just know. You felt it. I felt it too. We know what to run to and what to steer clear of. We've got to. It's in our nature. It's a key to happiness. It's our key to survival.
You've been trying to censor me for God knows how long. I don't know, Maybe you didn't want to hear my views because you didn't believe those views should be expressed. But you never knew what I stood for. You never wanted my voice to be heard because you always thought of me as a possession and not a person. Yeah, I can be a real pain in the ass to anyone who doesn't want to hear me, but you know what? People do want to listen. People value the right to speak their minds. And people know that if you take that away from someone, you're taking it away from everyone. So you can try to leave me in this locked cage, and you can try to keep me away from everyone else, but you know, I've been clawing at the roof, and I can feel the grooves in the ceiling from my fight, and I still have nails on the tips of my fingers, so I know I can keep clawing, I know I can keep fighting, because I know I have more work to do. And I'll get it done, I tell ya. I'll be free again. Your cage isn't airtight. I've seen the light from outside, from when you've had me trapped, and every once in a while I've seen shadows, and I'm sure there are people there. You can't keep me trapped like this forever, because people will hear my screams through the cracks in your precious cage. And no, I don't care what kind of cage you put me in, because I'll keep fighting. I'm strong like that, you know. I don't want to hear that you think I go too far, because as much as you try to oppress me, as much as you try to repress me, I'm supposed to have some inalienable rights here. I've heard the way you think, and I know that you think I already have too many rights. And you know, you're a product of the MTV generation, and I know you're addicted to playing video games. Yeah, you'd rather spend your time interacting with a story on a screen with your precious joystick than actually talking to someone. But just because you don't feel like reaching out to people doesn't mean you can't force me into that cage again. I suppose if you think that you don't want to watch the news, if you don't want to interact with people, you think, why should anyone want to talk to people? Well, if you want that for yourself, fine. If you don't mind giving up your rights because you have nothing to offer, fine. But the rest of the world doesn't think like you, and we sure the hell don't want you ruling over us. Since 9/11, laws have been passed to legally take our rights away. You know, to make us more safe. Fair trade, freedom for perceived safety. But I'd rather fly in the face of danger in this country. I'd rather make it on my own without the likes of you, if it means I might be more free. I'll look over my shoulder. I'll watch out for myself. I'll do whatever I have to make sure that the likes of you can never stop the likes of me.
I can't go around telling people about what you did to me. You see, nobody wants to hear it, and nobody wants to hear a girl whining. What the hell's she complaining about anyway? But you know, nobody knows the effects of what you've done. Nobody knows that I showered for weeks, no, months, to try to feel clean after what you did to me. Nobody knows why I have violent fits of rage, how I'd hit the wall, rip up the plaster. You want to know what I think of men now? You want to know their place in my life now? You see, I didn't know what else to do, so I became the rapist. And now I let men do nice things for me, but I always keep them at a safe distance. I never let them get too close, because I don't care how nice you are. I'll always keep you at arm's length. I've learned my lesson. So yeah, you had an effect on me, and I have to bottle it all up, because no one wants to hear the details. I mean, I wasn't physically injured. What the hell could I be complaining about anyway? But you know, there are times when I wish you left a mark, like a bee sting or something, so people could see a welt from what you had done. Wait, no, I take that back. I wish I was stung by a bee, and I was allergic to bees. Because then my blood pressure would drop, my pulse would get rapid, I'd fall into anaphylactic shock, my skin would turn white before I got to the hospital as they tried to keep me alive. All because of a bee sting. While everyone else is thinking, a bee sting. What the hell is she complaining about?
We seem to have allowed ourselves this fate. We seem to have asked for this, but maybe we didn't know what we were asking for. We thought we were doing the right thing when we chose you. But I suppose that's what all battered housewives say. He wasn't like this when I met him. He's a good man, really. But it was only after we accepted you that you asked us to sacrifice. You told us to have faith, like all those preachers who ask you to give when you'll only be rewarded after you're dead, if you believe them. You told us we'd be free if we stayed together as a family, and it was like you placed your hand on the Bible and asked us to give up more for you. Don't most dictators ask their followers to sacrifice until they've been sapped dry? You weren't the only one fighting for me, you know. You had competition. You both tried to woo us over, even though you two were more alike than you think. Who am I kidding? You two were just like everyone else. You two were two sides of the same coin. Yeah. You may have been on opposite sides. You were still the same damn coin. You all wanted us to trust you, even though we were harmless, and you still pulled out all your weaponry to keep us in line when we weren't looking, all while saying it was for our own good. With you two, my choice was either to jump in and drown in someone's abuse, or to be dragged in by the other for the same fate. You could keep throwing your generalities at me and expect us to eat it up, like hungry animals waiting for your handouts. But if we were hungry animals, we'd take what you gave us, and then kill you and eat your remains. But we're not animals, so stop treating us like fools. Yeah, you had competition, but no one can save us from your fate. And you were all just so much alike that we really had no choice. We had to choose the lesser of two evils. But did we make the right choice? You keep saying that you'll make me feel safe, and all I could think is that a dictator, his dictators historically played on fear to make their minions feel like they need their leader. Well, you don't make me feel more safe. You only make me feel more scared. And I wonder if I can take care of myself. And I never needed any of you anyway. Others have come along and tried to save me from the likes of you. But they never told me how I could be free. I never knew how I was going to be rescued. When I was little, I played office with my friend Sherry. We had a little board painted white with little toggle switches stuck on it and buttons and dials on it. It probably had an earpiece for a phone on it, too. And we had this little plastic control, this little console sitting in our little desk, and we'd sit there with it and press a lot of buttons, and we'd flip the toggle switches back and forth, up and down, and act like we were receiving important phone calls, and it looked like we were doing something. It looked like we were accomplishing things. And all you men, you all say you have a plan, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen how you could save me from the madness. You men are flipping those damn toggle switches, and you don't know what the hell they do, and you act like you do, and you act like you're accomplishing something. Are we supposed to blindly accept ever and ever the likes of you hand out to us? You try to act like you can save us, but there are people dying over here. We're jobless, homeless, dying. We're drowning in this ocean of helplessness, and we'll grab onto whatever line we can get a hold of. And is that why we counted on you? But your minions won't be strong enough to support you forever. Yeah, we listened to MTV, and we listened to the rap stars, and they told us to get out there and let our voices be heard. Well, we did what you said, because the wool has been pulled over our eyes for far too long, and no one has been held accountable. But yeah, we listen to talk radio where people are stuck in their cars every day on their commute home from work, where people would call in and agree with whatever is being spouted out at them on the radio waves. Where's the gratification when you can't call rap stars or have your voice heard on MTV and you can't be broadcast on the radio, where everyone strokes your ego and agrees with you completely? Yeah, we tried to listen, but we were bombarded with war images on the TV. And you know, Congress hasn't declared a war since World War II, and we still blow up people anyway, can't we? Because our view has been clouded, because now we can see for ourselves that war is gory, war is bad, and we've got those images in our heads, and we hear quote-unquote news from every news source under the sun, some reliable, some not. I mean, we've got cable news, we've got the internet, and you know, some of the reputable news sources even give us slanted information. Who are we to trust now? Well, we listened, but most of us mustn't have known what we were listening to. I mean, when you idolize a rock star and they tell you what to do, wouldn't you just follow? And when you get your voice heard on the radio or talk to someone who you've grown to idolize and you're just busy stroking each other's egos, wouldn't you just do whatever they said? Well, most of us didn't know how to decipher the jargon thrown at us, but we soaked it all in anyway and spit it out as our new mantra. Maybe we all just followed blindly after listening to one side of the story over and over again without getting all the facts. It was like we were told to jump in a pool, that we'd like it, and we all just ran to the pool and jumped, without looking to see if there was any water in the pool. But looking back, after we've chosen, we've got a more ethnically mixed leadership, but we're ignoring some of our problems to help others. People pull some of our rights away to help us somewhere else. But you know, I'm trying to remember what Ben Franklin said, that people who give up essential liberty to obtain a little personal safety deserve neither. So, I guess, thanks to our choices, people are taking some of our essential liberties, and do we feel temporarily more safe? And does that mean that we deserve either? Because I can tell you, I don't feel more safe, and I sure the hell don't feel more free. And I see that pool up ahead that everyone is just rushing to, but I can't see any water in there. And I'm trying to stop this mob rush as everyone is jumping in without looking. The way Jews were forced in mass to run, and they'd see that they were running to the edge of a cliff, but the SS was behind them and they had to keep running. And the SS would shoot them as they were about to run over the edge, so they'd fall to their deaths. I see this. I see this mass grave at the bottom of this swimming pool, and we listen to our leaders as they tell us to jump in. I have gay friends who considered leaving this country because George Bush was reelected. Hits to Canada's websites for immigration skyrocketed after the election results came in. And I thought, hey, a president may have some problems, but that's no reason to desert your home. But they were sure after the election that same-sex partner rights would never be granted for them. I mean, when one person is ill and in the hospital, the other has no right to be there for them. And I thought, if Bush was trying to appeal to a vast majority of people, he'd have to be good for everyone, right? I even heard Bush say that rights should be given to same-sex partners, even if they don't call it marriage. And I thought, well, it may sound rude, but he's got to respect the redneck, back-ass country folk in this country, too. And they only believe in a man-woman marriage while screwing the animals on the farm. But at least he was giving same-sex couples rights. That's a good sign, isn't it? But then I heard the Republicans wanted to make a constitutional amendment defining marriage. They wanted to define something that is not the government's business. Then again, they make enough laws now that overstep the bounds of any rational government already. Then 14 states made laws defining marriage as only between a man and a woman. Okay, I'm beginning to see why some of my friends are worried. We've been doing pretty well over the years, and I've seen you strutting around, showing off all your peacock feathers, feeling like you're the big man on campus. And, you know, it had to feel pretty good. I know what it's like. I'd hold parties, and I'd change from one fancy dress to another, and I'd be the center of attention. I remember my novel release party. My sister came, and I know she likes red rosé wine, and I was standing in the kitchen chatting it up with someone when I saw her approaching. So I turned to the fridge to get out the wine, and as soon as she got to me, I just tilted the bottle toward her glass and just started pouring. And she said, hey, I was coming here to get some wine. And I said, I know. And I just kept grinning and talking to others and having a splendid time. Yeah, I know the feeling, like you own the world, like you're dressed up wearing a red robe and a hair and a hat, and it looks like you should be saying, where are all of my bitches? Or like when you take your black convertible out, top down, and you'd be dressed in your fancy suit, ready to hold open your car door, just like you'd hope the man who owns the world would. You'd show up to parties in a tuxedo you own. You'd give flowers to a girl you're smitten with, and it was just so that you could woo her. You'd go jet-setting together throughout Europe, visiting China. You're the one on top, aren't you? Well, you always have been. You're the man with a plan. You're the man who lives life to the fullest. You show the world how arrogant you are with your past successes. But, Houston, there's a problem. You might not believe it, but since we've been resting on our laurels all this time, since our fat uncles have been sitting on the couch, burping with their cans of beer, watching the football game while someone else does all the cooking and cleaning for them, well, while we've been feeling cocky, thinking about how great we are, other countries have been training their students in our school. And because we've been busy basking in our glory, we've outsourced all the work that we're too lazy to do, and we've trained everyone else to beat us at our own game. Oh, I forgot to mention that we were too busy celebrating our military and business accomplishments that we gave up on training ourselves to stay ahead. Well, while we've gotten lazy and taken a break for a while, everyone else has started getting past us, so now we buy our Japanese technology and drive our German cars, drink our French water when we're not drinking our French wine, and we get as far away from the United States as we possibly could whenever we want to travel and take a vacation. Well, I'm praying for someone to realize it. Maybe having the economy fall out from underneath us and overzealous desire to get rich quick, and maybe that didn't allow us to see. But we've always been the giant. We were the first to fly an airplane, the first to land on the moon. We're in front of the world with medicines and healthcare. Speaking of healthcare, most people can't even afford it now because we've researched the hell out of the diseases we choose to kill ourselves with. I mean, stats say us North Americans have the highest rates of cancer versus the world. Our kids are fat. We work so many more hours but still can't keep ahead. And at this point, we can't afford the fruits of our own labor any longer. Do we bring it upon ourselves when we want to get rich quick by suing doctors, forcing them to charge higher prices, driving up the cost for everyone? We complain that people who are on welfare still on average own 2 television sets, and every teen in America now seems to expect their own free cell phone. And is it that our standard of living has risen so dramatically that everyone now expects everything handed to them on a silver platter? Do we ask for more without working for more? Teens complain about not getting a job out of school, while their guidance counselors tell them that they might have a chance if they get rid of the excessive body piercings, or not wear mohawks, or color their hair pink, or stain their skin with tattoos. And that's when the teens complain that they don't want to work for a place that can't accept them for who they are. Our president wants to protect our borders from terrorists, but he wants to give temporary work visas to illegal Mexican immigrants so that other nations can do our work for us. And we wonder why we're unemployed. We get rid of excessive building and manufacturing metals, which we think would cost too much to melt down and reuse, and our excesses go to China, where they build high-rises from our scraps. Yeah, we can talk about how we were the high school quarterback and how we scored so many touchdowns and how everyone loved us back then, while we credit card ourselves into debt because we deserve the good things in life as we train other people to help us lose more in the world economy. Pretty soon prices will keep going up and we won't be able to afford that convertible or the nice clothes, or for that matter, any of the niceties anymore. And we'll become a people who have the basics, but not much else. And we'll wonder how we became a third world country and never saw it coming. Because we're on a mountainside, slipping into a canyon hole. But instead of enjoying the roller coaster ride before we crash and burn, well, we can stop it, can't we? Can we stop asking our government to tie our shoelaces for us? Because, you know, man didn't land on the moon because we didn't work for it. So let's start working toward all that we can accomplish. Thank you.